Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. We all of us, every single one of us, need to be aware of what is going on in the world of fraud. Why? Because they're very creative people and they would like some of your money. But the probability of them getting some of your money will be lessened if you listen to this conversation and take action based on what you hear. That is because we're going to talk about what the fraudsters are thinking about and doing these days and give you some tips on how to protect yourself. Julie Kuzmic is Senior Compliance Officer, Consumer Advocacy at Equifax Canada. Hello there.
Hello.
When we focus on a topic like this, does it do more to, does it improve or negate your view about the future of our world? I always think, wow, these fraudsters are getting so creative. How can we compete?
Yeah, I guess if we could harness that power for good, then maybe we could attack something real like climate change.
Yeah, great idea. Love that. They are getting creative. They are not tackling climate change. They are tackling our wallets. What are some ways in which fraud has changed over the years? What are some things that you're noticing?
Well, as the technology advances, of course, so do the tools and abilities of the fraudsters out there. But one of the things that I think people forget is that fraudsters will take the easiest path. And sometimes that just means your bank statements that you forgot to recycle or you forgot to shred and threw them in
before you recycled.
Right. And it's not always these super high-tech Bitcoin-centered fraud schemes that are getting people. Sometimes it's just forgetting your wallet in the cart at Costco and being unlucky enough that the person who found it tried to do something with your identity instead of doing the right thing and turning the wallet in.
You have done a survey to sort of get a pulse for how Canadians are thinking about, feeling about fraud these days. What stood out to you in that survey?
It stood out to me that close to half of the respondents said that they feel more vulnerable to fraud around the holidays. And I think some of that is related to the fact that people prefer to use credit cards for a lot of their holiday shopping. So we saw 2/3 of the respondents saying that. And that even more, 70% feel they need to do more to protect themselves. So I think people are aware that if you're doing more transactions, and of course, a lot of online shopping is happening around this time of year, then there are more opportunities for fraudsters to intercept a transaction or otherwise try to get their hands on your sensitive data.
You have some tips. I love some tips. Beginning with only shop with trusted retailers and be careful at checkout. Is this tip predominantly focused on our online behavior, or does this matter too when we're just, you know, walking the high street and wandering into a small business?
Well, at least if we were walking the high street, we'd probably be in the UK where there are
You picked up on that. I was thinking that was a really bougie reference for me to call, you know, my local downtown a high street. And there'd be like a Boots or a Marks and Spencer on every corner.
Well, I'm all for that. I love those two shops. But anyway, it's more a reference to online shopping. So the type of scam that we see here is where someone is scrolling through one of their feeds, let's say it's Instagram, and you see an ad pop up for some brand that you like. Maybe it's like Lancome Cosmetics or something of high-end leather goods. And it looks like, wow, this Black Friday sale is amazing. And instead of going separately to the retailer's website to make sure that this is a legitimate ad from the actual retailer, you're clicking on that ad, which may not be who they say they are. And when you go through their fake website and their fake purchasing process and you click on submit order, they are getting not only your credit card data, but a chunk of money that you have just transmitted to them. So you're doubly out. One is you're not getting the goods that you thought you just purchased. And secondly, unfortunately, you've just fed this data to fraudsters.
Another tip is being careful about what information you share on social media. What would be some examples of that? And are my kitten and cat videos and photos putting me at risk? Because it's almost worth it because my cat's that cute.
I believe that. And although on behalf of Equifax, I'm in no position to comment on
the cuteness of my cat. Okay. All right.
Right. But on a personal level, cat videos all day, every day, for sure. Now, this one is a bit old. It's as old as the internet of don't share too much information online. But some of that is just, if you're saying, I can't wait in 6 hours from now, I'll be on a plane heading somewhere warm for the holidays, you can be letting people know, therefore, my house is currently empty. And it might not be a break-in, as we were discussing. It could be as simple as, oh, those recycle bins outside that person's house, I'm going to go take a look because maybe I can find a bank statement and they're less likely to be home to notice that I'm rifling through their garbage cans.
Passwords are a big deal. I've been on a password manager for years and years now, and as frustrating as two-factor authentication is, I am a big believer. What's your hygiene around passwords? Do you walk the talk here?
I feel like you're looking into my soul and you might not like what you're seeing.
Get ready.
I sign up for two-factor authentication everywhere I can. So as a reminder, of course, for your listeners, that's where you're giving your cell number and you're asking for a text or a phone call with a one-time use PIN to be delivered so that when you enter your password onto your, say, online banking, they won't let you in unless you are also providing this PIN that is only valid for a period of, say, 10 minutes. I find that to be a bit of a hassle too, but then when I really think about it, it's probably adding less than 5 seconds to me signing in. So it's absolutely worth it because if somebody has figured out my password, the chances that they have my cell phone at the same time are a lot lower. So that is really something that is important to do where you get the opportunity to.
You also, and no surprise, recommend that people check their credit reports on a regular basis. This is kind of after the fact, but you would want to be sure that you catch the fraud as quickly as possible. You and I have talked before about my own experience with identity theft and how long that took to unwind things. When people do look at those the credit reports and the scores that go alongside that, what should they be looking for?
One of the most important things is just looking for accounts that you don't recognize. There's an inquiry section on your credit reports, and that's, of course, both Equifax and TransUnion. Everybody can get free credit reports online from both the credit bureaus today. So this is not going to take any money. It'll just take a couple minutes of your time. If you see an account or an inquiry onto your credit report that isn't yours, that's where you want to start asking questions. Now, that could simply be that somebody with a similar name and address has this account and it mistakenly appeared on your credit report instead of theirs. So sometimes it's a simple mistake that's easy to reverse, but other times it is actually somebody using your information, trying to or having successfully opened a new credit account in your name.
And what do you do? You see that on the report, you pick up the phone and say what?
You want to call the credit bureaus, both Equifax and TransUnion, even if you only see it on one, because you can put a fraud alert on each of your credit reports for free. And that will help slow down any future transactions. You give them your cell number and any retailer or lender that receives an application in your name is supposed to call you at that number that you've provided in order to make sure that it is actually you. So that's one of the first things you want to do. And that's also free. But of course, you want to follow up with those accounts. If it's at a bank or a credit card issuer, you want to make sure they know that this is a fraudulent account, get it locked, and get their fraud team looking into it so that you can start the process of reversing any charges that may have been incurred on that account and getting it shut down.
Everyone needs to sort of manage their expectations too, not only in terms of how long it takes to resolve a situation like that, but the other things that mysteriously can pop up over the course of months and years. For example, I went to register for another credit score service just to try it out. And I couldn't get in. I couldn't log on. It wouldn't work. It didn't work. And it was because of that fraud alert on my account. So I think it was great that I was protected in that way, but I didn't know that it would prevent other certain actions, my ability to do other certain things.
It's really interesting to hear you had that experience. I wouldn't have thought it should have worked that way. And I'm sure you didn't think so either.
I did not. Yes. And of course, I went all the way to, the king and queen of the financial services company to say, why can't I sign up for this thing? And they finally found, oh, it's because you've got this thing on your account. So if you were to sum up in one sentence, the wisdom of the ages on reducing the risk that you will be a victim of fraud, what would you say?
Be aware, pay attention, shred your documents, and look at your credit reports. You can do it for free. There are a lot of cases where people don't find out about some kind of fraud that has taken place until they're trying to finalize that car loan or lease or get that mortgage renewal in place or that first home buyer's mortgage. And they're finding out that they're not a good prospect because there's an item in collections on their credit report, which doesn't even belong to them. You don't want to be finding that stuff out when you're in one of those high pressure situations. So it is worth just spending a couple minutes and making sure that you're in the clear.
When you started your answer there, I actually thought you were going to say a haiku poem. It sounded like that's where you were going. Shred your documents, thinking, running over the lazy brook, shredding, something like that. Would you work on that for the next time we speak and you can do your comments in haiku?
I will. I will definitely be focused on that. And I look forward to bringing you back further credit wisdom in the form of a haiku.
Yes, please. Julie Kuzmic, great to talk to you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Julie Kuzmic is the Senior Compliance Officer, Consumer Advocacy at Equifax Canada. She was here to talk about the latest in fraud prevention and the things that you could do, should do, must do to keep your files and information as safe as possible.